doing? It's Zach Kowski.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what up, everybody? My name is Drake Moore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. Wind City Sports airs on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday live at 12:30 p.m., and you can hear replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and every single episode of Wind City Sports, wherever podcasts are found, including where you're listening to it right now, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also go to Wind City Sports directly to pull up our feed, and we also have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube account at WindCity_Sports. We'll tell you how to access that as well as podcast again at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Thursday, October 3rd, 2019, and it's episode 165 of Wind City Sports. It's officially October. The end of the year is approaching, but it's officially hockey season, as the NHL kicked off their regular season last night. The Spitfires, back about two Saturdays ago, kicked off their regular season, and that's going to bring us into our interview this week, actually. As I mentioned before, we always like to talk to as many athletes as possible, but hockey's been very dominant this year, and I'm not disappointed at all, and I'm not sorry about it, but we have another former Windsor Spitfire and former NHLer on the show this week. This guy played here in Windsor, went on to the NHL, and played in Buffalo for a majority of his career before wrapping it up in Washington. He quickly became the assistant coach of the Windsor Spitfires, where he played as junior right here in our hometown, very shortly after retiring, just a few months really. In the mid of the season, back in January 2018, he jumped onto the team as assistant coach and is now with them, starting his second full season with the team. It's Mike Weber, number 6. For both the Spitfires and Sabres. We have a good little conversation with him, some good stories, and obviously we break down his entire career and into coaching, and gives us a tiny little preview. I know obviously the season has already started, but beginning of the season is always getting your feet wet and a lot of things to kind of overcome and sort out. So we get a little bit of thoughts from assistant coach Mike Weber on the Windsor Spitfires. We talk about him specifically and his goal in playing, his post-career goals in coaching in the world of hockey, and what he may or may not be interested in. But we're going to get into that interview in just a moment. But first, I just got to tell you about SeatGiant.ca. SeatGiant.ca is another third-party ticket sales site, but there's a few catches. First off, it's all in Canadian dollars. When you're searching up tickets for, obviously, across the border, any show, concert, game, any sort of event, they have tickets for everything, by the way. They even have tickets for our Windsor Spitfires, and once the Windsor Express gets rolling, you'll see tickets on there as well. But it's all in Canadian dollars, so you know what you're buying. I just actually purchased some tickets for the Detroit Red Wings and Toronto Maple Leafs game next Saturday. Just the exchange rate, it really makes a big difference, and the service charges, and again, just those U.S. rates, so you can get it all in Canadian dollars, and better yet, you can get 5% off by using code WINCITY now. That's W-N-I-C-I-T-Y for 5% off your order at SeatGiant.ca. But enough with that terrible ad read. Let's send it over to Mike Weber, former Windsor Spitfire, Buffalo Sabre, and now assistant coach of the Spits. Here we go.
So I'm here at WFCU Center with a former Windsor Spitfire. He went on to play in the NHL for many seasons, mostly with the Buffalo Sabres. And he's now taking on the task as the assistant coach of the Windsor Spitfire, going into his second full season. Mike Weber, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, kid from Pittsburgh is something I learned today. I didn't realize you were from Pittsburgh, actually. But you're brought to Windsor to play hockey back when you're drafted, or however you came into the Spits organization. So what do you remember about first coming to the club here as a player?
I mean, I'm a late birthday, so I was still 15 years old, and I was back home playing junior B in Pittsburgh as a 14, 15-year-old, and made an all-star team, and we kind of went up and we played the Stony Creek team, so in that Golden Horseshoe Junior B League, and that was kind of my first introduction to OHL. I had scouts coming up to me after the game and things like that, so started obviously researching a little bit more about what the OHL was, and then obviously the Erie Otters were close, so drove up to Erie, watched a couple of games, and just watching the type of hockey and the type of player I was at the time, and realized, I kind of fell in love, and wanted to kind of find a way to get here. Was very fortunate early on in my life to meet a guy like Butch Ott, obviously Steve Ott, who played here too and went on to a great NHL career, but and I'll throw it in there for him. But the last man to score 50 goals as a Windsor Spitfire. So I was very fortunate, obviously, to meet his dad. He was working for an agency at the time, and kind of pushed Mike Kelly really hard to draft me. And back then the rules, you know, you had to be drafted in the third round to me even have a chance to make the team as a rookie. And he pushed hard to get me drafted in the third round, and obviously came into camp, made the team. But it was a little bit of a whirlwind. Didn't know where Windsor was exactly. and things like this. And again, my parents were just, you know, if this is what you want to do, they were completely supportive. I showed up to Windsor with my hockey bag and a hockey bag full of clothes and completely expected to make the team and worked hard all summer. And again, you know, yeah, I'm from Pittsburgh, but Windsor became my adopted home pretty quickly. I would go home for quick trips in the summer and the off season for a week or a weekend. And basically I was stayed here and trained and went to school and kind of invested myself in the community and just kind of treated this as my adopted home.
That's awesome, man. I mean, it paid off, obviously. And like I said, I didn't realize you were from even the States. I thought you were from around here.
Yeah.
Did you go to Herman? Or?
No, I went to Holy Names for one semester, and then I ended up going to St. Anne's and went to St. Anne's for 3 years. Graduating there. So it
was gotcha. Good. It's just cool to see a kid from the States come over to Windsor. You probably never heard of it. Did you feel like you grew as a player here with the Spits as well? Like you said, coming in at 15 and then making your way up.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, everyone, when they're young and they're playing hockey, you always dream about, playing in the NHL and trying to get as far as you could. And for me, I think I had realistic expectations at the time. I just wanted to play junior hockey. It was the highest level I could play at the age group. And I wanted to have the chance to take my career in the next, the next step. And was very fortunate, obviously, in my second year of playing here to have a guy like DJ Smith, who his career ended prematurely due to concussions, you know, kind of come in, step in, and was my assistant coach and was my D coach for the majority of my career. And I was very fortunate, obviously, to have him come in and give me a purpose and almost start fine-tuning and making my path, you know, a little bit straighter, and knowing that I can play in the National Hockey League if I do these certain things on a daily basis and start, again, he just kind of got my, you know, my picture in line and brought it more into focus of what I really wanted and how to achieve it. And I was completely bought in, and, you know, I really believe that I would have never had the NHL career I had or the pro career I had, you know, if I didn't have him. So, you know, kind of leads into maybe a question down the road, but that's, you know, at that age, at 17, I knew that when my playing days were over that I wanted to coach just primarily because of what he did for me and how he was with me and obviously the end game. So
that's cool. It's cool to see the parallels too in time, right? But you obviously were coached by many great coaches and great people in the organization here for many years, but you also played with a lot of great guys. I'm sure you still keep in touch with some of them, and it had to have been a fun time in your life too, right?
Yeah, I mean, junior hockey, you move away, you're 15 years old, 16 years old, and you're living a billet house, you're meeting new friends obviously on the team, and then at school you have kind of a separate group of friends, and even to the non-hockey side of it, I mean, I'm still extremely close with a core group of probably 5 to 10 guys that didn't play hockey, but I went to school with them. And obviously cool. They're all working in the community, things like that. I see them on a daily basis. Now our kids are hanging out together. So again, the relationships that you build as a 16-year-old and, you know, now being 31, like, it's great to still have those connections. And then obviously some of the great players I played with and the players that moved on. I mean, I play with Cal O'Reilly. I play with Brian Bickle, even older group of guys, but, you know, John Scott Dixon, David Bowman, Henniger. You could go through those lists of guys. And even now I still remind myself, I go on the Hockey DB or Elite Prospects and look at it, and it's kind of like, holy cow, I play with that guy. Look at this guy. Oh, man, you can't remember. Yeah. But so many guys and so many great connections and so many stories, probably some stories you can't tell on here. But but again, it was all a growing up process and a learning process and just trying to soak it all in. And I felt like that was maybe one of my best assets or best attributes at that time was I was a giant sponge. And even I carry that now. I was absorbing everything and taking everything in and trying to learn and figure out who I am, what I liked, what I wanted. And again, it was obviously great playing here. You know, investing, being in the community, and playing for Windsor Spitfires was second to none.
That's awesome, man. Obviously, there's a lot of fun to be had in the game of hockey, but one story that I got to tell here. So Going back, I think it was about 05, I went to a birthday party for my buddy Corey, his birthday at the bar, and went to a Spitfire game. And thereafter, they're like, oh, we're going to go meet the Spitfires, right? A little surprise for the kids. Like, sure, let's go on down there, meeting all the players and yourself, you're in there. And I can't remember who you leaned over to, and you said, hey, and you point at me and you go, doesn't this kid look like the kid from Billy Madison that pissed his pants? They're all like, yeah, oh my God, he does. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? But I did look like that kid.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I thought, yeah, well, I mean, looking back, sorry about that now. Yeah. But again, like, I mean, it's all in good fun in it, and, you know, but yeah, I mean, again, that's a pretty funny story, yeah.
Yeah, I had to bring that up. I can't do this though. Bring it up. But at that point, or around that time, in 06, you were traded away for the rebuilding here of the Spits. Yeah. Finished up your overage year in Barrie. What was it like there?
Yeah, so it was my fourth year in the league, and I was the captain of the team. So obviously, it's hard. I think I didn't want to be traded, even though we were, you know, the worst team in the league, and it was great. You could see where the team was going, and I knew that the next year I was turning pro and stuff like that, and I really wanted to finish off as a Windsor Spitfire, but you know, again, it kind of prepared me for the next step of my career and being a pro, and you kind of learn the business side of it, and you look at it, you know, a few years later, and I was a big piece of helping Boogie and then Bundy, you know, kind of you know, get the assets back that they needed to build our organization to what it has become, and, you know, winning the Memorial Cups and getting key pieces and you know, picks and things like that in. So, you know, at the time, it just taught me about the game. Like, you know, it doesn't matter how much you love something or it is, at the end of the day, it is a business. And, you know, we're going to move you on. And I, you know, I did something beneficial for the organization by leaving and getting traded and helping them kind of build up a storage of assets that they were able to use on guys like Ryan Ellis and Hall, like, you know what I mean? And it pays off for them. And I, you know, so I take pride in that. I was able to, unfortunately, when I was playing here, we weren't that great, but I do take great pride in that. I was able to do something for the organization. I was a big enough asset for them to move and to get good pieces in to help them build to what our organization is now.
Absolutely. And around that time, 2006, you're drafted to the Buffalo Sabres, 57th overall. First two seasons, got started in the AHL and made some appearances with the Sabres, a few call-ups here and there. But what was the transition like going from junior to pro, really?
I mean, obviously, it's completely different. You go in, you sign, I'm a 19-year-old kid. I'm going to play in the, you know, in the American Hockey League. And basically, you know, I get sent down for my first training camp and you get your letter, go find a place. So again, you know, it's just different. I loved it personally. I loved the fact that, like, obviously I had great billets here in Windsor that prepared me for pro hockey too. I mean, they were working with me, teaching me how to cook, teaching me how to do different things. You know what I mean? So I felt well prepared. Obviously, playing in Windsor and with the billets and things I had here, I felt well prepared for pro hockey. But again, just the type of player I was, I knew it would take time and I had to develop. And I mean, for me, a special moment was I'm a worker. I was always a worker. I was always trying to get better, strive to be better. And I mean, I was rewarded early on in my pro career. 9 games into my HL season, I get called up for my first, you know, NHL game. So again, I took full advantage and I knew that it was going to be a process and it had its setbacks, things like that. I mean, going into my third year pro, kind of being told, like, you know, in that summertime after my second season, like, I was right on the cusp. I was right there and I get hurt in my second season, have a shoulder surgery. So I come back, I rehab hard, and basically was told going into my third season, like, hey, get a place in Portland. You're going to be there all season. And okay. I ended up, you know, not getting called up once, but I played all 80 games. I was an AHL All-Star, like, little things. And that taught me the most about kind of adversity. You think you're right there. You think you're close to getting it. And, you know, some guys in that situation, I've seen it many times, some guys kind of go away, and I always refused to go away. I was going to make the NHL or die trying, and you know, I was fortunate. That was a huge learning year, that third year pro on my entry level, and of just digging in, playing all the games, staying healthy, you know, was rewarded with my play, all-star game, stuff like that, and then kind of went in, and, you know, after my entry level, and Buffalo just said, hey, we're going to qualify you and come into camp and earn a spot. And I was able to do that. So I was kind of a big year. That end of my second year to the end of my entry-level deal. Yeah. It was a big year for me. A lot of learning went on, and just kind of teaching how to dig in and not go away, and realizing what your goal is, and you're right there, and the window is short. Your careers are all short, so mm-hmm. you got to take advantage when you can.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually what I was going to ask about, because yeah. I'd spent that whole season there, like you mentioned. Didn't know about the injury, but I was going to say ask if it might have been frustrating to you to be in that spot, maybe thinking that you could go up. But obviously, ultimately, the hard work paid off. And like you said, they seen your worth that gig and wanted to bring you on. Because from there, you played your sixth straight season with the NHL. Yeah. Never seen the AHL again until the end, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, again, I'm a big, like, in the moment guy. Where are you now? What can you do now? Control what you can control.
Yeah, it's
you
all
can't,
timing.
I mean, like, I can't be worrying about what was going on in Buffalo. I was in Portland. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm a pirate right now. Yeah. So I'm a pirate. You do your job. I was an assistant captain down there. I had a leadership role. You know what I mean? Like, I really tried to stay focused, as frustrated as you can get. I mean, that's obviously why it's good. I met my wife in that time period too. That was her first year. We kind of moved in together, and we were dating, but, that's where you got to have a good support system. And I believe, and I talk to these kids all the time, you got to have a good support system outside of, you know, your teammates, mm-hmm. and you got to have good parents, or, you know, an agent or a friend that's outside of the organization, or obviously a significant other or something like that. And I felt like I took full advantage of that, and you're able to vent to them and kind of get some stuff off your chest of your frustrations. But at the end of the day, if you have a good support system, they can kind of always bring it back to that, stay in the moment. Where are you now? What can you do about how you can change? You know what I mean? What can you do to get to where you want to be? And that was something I really focused on, and obviously helped me out. And I mean, I went through some adversity too in the National Hockey League. The first year they said, congratulations, you made the team. Then Lindy Ruff healthy scratched me for 17 straight. So, I mean, I dealt with different things throughout my career, but I was able to always keep that perspective of, what do you want? How do you get it done? Like, you know what I mean? Try and just check off the boxes and answer the questions and control what I can control. I can control how I come to the rink every day. I can control my attitude. I can control my work ethic. And I just always kind of focused on that and what I can bring to the team. Okay, I'm not playing, but what do I bring to the team? I'm going to compete hard in practice. I'm going to be a great guy in the room. Different things like that I always tried to just shrink the focus, just always kind of bring it back. And obviously it helped me for, a guy from Pittsburgh who wasn't that overly that skilled, but just worked and continued to always want to get better. It led to, the 351 games I played in the National Hockey League and over 600 I played pro. And I'm very grateful for having people in my life that kind of helped me narrow that focus. Mm-hmm.
It's all about what you take out of the experience, right? Like, you could sit there and be negative about one year, but there's a lot bigger, brighter side. So you spent majority of it in Buffalo, but wrapped it up with the Washington Capitals. Being a kid from Pittsburgh, probably wanted to play for the Penguins, but got to play for the rivals for a bit. Yeah. What was that short experience like for you?
It was eye-opening, obviously. Kind of similar situation that I faced in Windsor to here, obviously in Buffalo for the majority of my career. And it was kind of, we had a couple good years early on in my career. My first couple years we were competitive, we were a playoff team, and then it switched, and it was a grind. It was hard. We were losing a lot of games. We were, I played for them when we were in the tank for McDavid era, where we got equal. But so it was a lot of external things that were going on that made it difficult to play there. And again, I was always just grateful to be in the NHL and the opportunity and working hard. And then obviously to have a team like the Capitals, who were the President Trophy winners that year, and to get traded there. And again, I took it as a different aspect. I knew that my career was kind of, I was, 28. My career was starting to kind of wind down get to the edge. So I was looking at it more of like, they were a great organization. They brought me in, they were completely honest. So I took those things away that I'd bring now to my coaching side of it. But they were completely honest, sitting down with the GM and Trotsky as the coach. And just like, Webby, we brought you here as we want to win the Stanley Cup. You always need depth defensemen. We need good people. We've done a lot of research on you. You're a good person. Your teammates love you. I checked off a lot of boxes for them on the type of person they wanted to bring in the organization to help them try to achieve that goal. So again, and then obviously you go there and you play with all-star players playing with Ovi and Backstrom and Kuznetsov. And I mean, you could go down that list. Obviously, they won a couple years later, but it's the same core group of guys there. And I feel really privileged that, you know, obviously that, they were willing to bring me into that team to help them achieve their goal. Unfortunately, we didn't do it, but again, it was a great experience, and I can say nothing about their, you know, nothing bad about their organization. First class organization, and it was a great experience for me moving on in my career.
That's fantastic, man. From there, it looks like you went to Iowa, I believe, in the AHL for a bit before going to, I think, Sweden, 2018, but pretty quickly decided to retire, I believe, and came over here to the Spits in January 2018. How was that decision all made, and how did it all kind of unfold, I suppose?
Yeah, so for me, obviously, I get traded to the best team in the league, and again, you talk about different things in your life and how the business side of it works and the game side of it works. Like, I couldn't find a job. Like, I was unrestricted free agent, went all summer long, couldn't find a job. You know, everyone was trying to, you know, obviously now you can kind of see it. Everyone's paying their young players, and I was getting older. Now I'm 29. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was a struggle. So all summer long, I couldn't find anything, and I ended up actually going to St. Louis on a PTO that year. So I went to St. Louis on a PTO, went all the way through their camp, and then obviously when they made the final cuts, I was released from my PTO and went back home, and I sat at home until just like a week before Halloween, and again, my agent called me and he goes, hey, listen, Minnesota really likes you, but it might not be the job you want or what you want to hear, but I think you should talk to them. So I talked to their assistant general manager, Brent Flair, and he was just basically, again, just getting back to the honesty thing, like, Webby, listen, we know you're serviceable, you're a great, you know, stay-at-home defender, blah, 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 but here's what we need from you if we want to sign you. We need you to go to the American League. We need you to be a leader. We need you to help. We've got three or four young D prospects who are right on the cusp of making our team. Basically, I went into a player coach role, and that was kind of first how I kind of got introduced. So I was in a player coach role there where obviously I went down. I had a really good season, but at the end of that season, towards the end, the last couple weeks of the season, I banged up my knee again for the, you know, fifth or sixth time, and I had to have some more cartilage and then stuff removed, and I had a struggle coming back from that. So again, I rehabbed from that, went into that season, and again, no real offers. So I was continuing to rehab, and then had an opportunity to go over and be a part of a great organization over in Sweden, the Frölunda Indians, and again, similar situation. The general manager called. He said, "We know you're a little bit banged up, but we have this Rasmus Dahlin guy who's going to be coming over to the NHL. We have an offer for you. Can you come over? If you feel like you're healthy enough, come over, help us, help this kid, and help our young guys that are going to be transitioning to North America. And obviously, it's still competitive. We still want to win. We're in Champions Hockey League. We want to win our league, things like that." So obviously, I jumped at the opportunity. My wife, who was 6 months pregnant at the time, she said, go for it. And I have two other boys, too. So she was pregnant with our third, and obviously I took the opportunity and I went over there, and then unfortunately I only made it 10 games, so I made it a little over 2 months, but my knee completely gave out on me, and I was forced into retirement. So but again, just another great opportunity where I went there and was almost in a player coach role again, where, you know, I sat beside Dahlin and would talk to him about stuff, talk to him about North America, talk to him about NHL, like, you know. And then again, with my play, I never took a, it didn't matter that I was playing in Sweden, not the NHL, or I was playing in the AHL, not the NHL. I played the same way all the time, and it's, again, controlled what I can control, and that's always just your attitude, the way you treat people, and again, just, you know, your work ethic on the ice. And I brought all those things to those teams, and again, still have great relationships with all those people. Towards the end of my career, I still talk to the Frölunda GM a lot, who is Freddie Sjöström, who played for the Leafs. And again, all these little things and the way I treated people, again, like, obviously I can't stress it enough, and I stress it to these players a lot of time, just the relationships you build and how you treat people, you know, it can really go a long way. And again, when you're towards the end of your career and you still want to play, or you can still think you can grind it out, if you treated people the right way, people are willing to do things for good people. And again, feel really fortunate that I had those opportunities and those learning experiences of going back to the A, or going over to Sweden and seeing different views of how the game's played. And, you know, when I retired, I came right here and just basically bugged Trevor Letowski, the head coach here, and bugged Bundy until they until they hired me. I don't know if it was called hiring the first year at college, but until they gave me a tracksuit and said, "All right, man, you're on." So that's kind of how it led into coaching. Yeah. I got into it. I sat at home for a month and was a stay-at-home dad for a month, and then jumped right back into the game.
Mm-hmm. So. Obviously, you're keeping your connections here, as mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
How it all kind of came to be. But did Windsor kind of stick out to you when you were thinking about where am I going to go kind of thing? Or were you always kind of based in Windsor?
Yeah, for me, like, obviously, I trained here every summer. My wife's from here. Like, her family, you know, we have three young kids now. And again, no better place. Like, again, I know where I want to be as a coach. I'm similar to that in my playing career. I know where I want to be. But I'm also a type of guy that wants to take the right steps, do things the proper way. I don't want to jump levels. I don't want to skip steps. I want to be as well prepared as a coach, just as I was as a player, for when I get that opportunity. I want to be as best. I can't believe you can be completely prepared,
sure,
but I want to be as best prepared and have as many tools as possible. And there's no better place to start off than, you know, junior hockey in the Ontario Hockey League. And obviously, again, I'm very fortunate in my life and things like that, but I'm very fortunate to be able to do that at home.
Mm-hmm.
And have my kids be able to, you know, be able to drop my kids off at school every day. My kids can see their grandparents and my wife's home. And again, it's just nice to be in one place and have one home for once.
So it's
really nice, and I feel very fortunate for that.
Yeah. I mean, after all those years of traveling around, it's good to, like you said, just keep it all to one. And a team that you played with too.
Yeah.
So how have you been liking the coaching role? I mean, this is the same role that you started with the team and going into your second full season now.
Yeah, no, so it's nice. So obviously when I joined the staff the first year, like, I was just kind of overseeing, just seeing, like, Lutz tested me a lot, just to see, because again, a lot of players who I played with, and you know, everyone, I want to coach when I'm done, but do you really want to coach?
Yeah.
For me, like, obviously it's the next best thing to playing. I'm still in the room every day. I'm still interacting with the guys. I'm still, obviously, the connections and the relationships, all that. It's really special. So it's the next best thing to playing as coaching. But it's different. It's work, and it's different. The hours are long. As a player, you only worried about yourself and how you were doing and what you were doing to prepare yourself for the game. And now you got to worry about, as a coach, you got to worry about, okay, how's my meeting look? How's my penalty kill look? Okay, what can I change? How can I do this? So you're worried about the systems and how you're going to relay that message. And then you're also worrying about the 23 kids in the room. Or for me, my defenseman, I'm worrying about my 7 D-men I have right now. Okay, how are they feeling? What's going on in their personal lives? So it's just
everything. It's
just different. You're managing a lot of different people, different relationships. You always have to be continually working on the relationships. And then obviously with the video, you always got to be looking, doing your pre-scouts, doing your post-game reviews, doing the meetings. Like, it's just it's a lot. But I mean, again, I love it. I couldn't imagine myself ever doing anything else than doing this.
That's fantastic, man. And like you mentioned, it's a great place to start here in junior hockey.
Yeah.
Do you have aspirations to maybe move up, or maybe different roles in hockey ops, whatever it may be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I want to be a head coach. I want to have the opportunity one day to run my own team, to implement my own structures, things like that. But again, like, I want to be in the National Hockey League. I want to work myself and prepare and get back to the National Hockey League and chase down the dream of winning a Stanley Cup, this time just behind the bench. So, but again, I'm very fortunate too that I have so many friends and so many connections and so many guys that are obviously that I played with that are now coaching. I mean, Bob Bugner, he's now in San Jose again. You know, I got Steve Ott, who's my best friend. He's a assistant coach in St. Louis, just won a Stanley Cup. I've got DJ Smith, who's a head coach in Ottawa. I've got Paul McFarland, who's a former alumni of the Windsor Spitfires. He's assistant coach in Toronto. Like, the list kind of goes on and on and on, and it's a great source of, obviously, information and knowledge and again, just experiences, seeing what it's like, seeing what you're doing, like, and again, but eventually I do want to get back to the National Hockey League. So that's kind of the end game. So.
Yeah. Keeping that same mentality you've always had. And that kind of brings it all together, man. That's fantastic. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Drake DeMore here back on Wind City Sports. That was Mike Weber, former Windsor Spitfire, now assistant coach for the team. He played in the NHL for many years, but you already know that. Thanks again to Mike for taking the time to do that with me and let me come down there and chat with him. We got a little bit of sports news to get out of the way here, and obviously you'll hear a lot more on the Wind City Sports radio show, including our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week from GoLancers.ca. But I just want to give you a little bit of insight on what's going on over this weekend in regards to events and get you caught up with some stuff. But again, you'll hear more information on Wind City Sports Radio on CJAM Thursday today at 12:30 p.m. The Windsor Spitfires currently 3-1 their record so far this season. They had their first loss of the season to Erie on Saturday, but they have two home games this weekend. And I like to consider Thursday the beginning of the weekend. So tonight, they play Ottawa at the WFCU Center at 7:05, and then are back home again on Saturday night for another 7:05 game against the Barrie Colts, where Warren Reichel will be making his return to Windsor and the WFCU Center, his first game with his new Barrie Colts as the head coach, and his first head coaching role as well. Following that, they'll be in Mississauga on Sunday, and then they are off for better part of a week. They play in Kitchener next Friday and aren't back home until October 12th, next Saturday, when they take on Sarnia, the Sarnia Sting, my old stomping grounds. We also have a few more signings to the Windsor Express basketball team. You can look them up on Twitter and Facebook at Windsor Express to get all the details on their newest signings. But the season schedule should be announced soon, and it will be kicking off late November, early December, it looks like, with the combine being on November, I believe, the 3rd or the 9th here at St. Clair College in Windsor. Soon enough, NBA will be starting up again with the Detroit Pistons across the border, but we will always have some news on our Windsor Express here on Wind City Sports. And there's always lots of news with our Windsor Lancers University sports teams. Over the weekend, the men's volleyball team captured their third straight Humber Cup. So congratulations to them. We have a lot of results to go through, I guess, so we can save that for the radio show. And some upcoming events. Looks like we'll have a few away games, though, this weekend. But we do have the golf team hosting the Windsor Invitational today at Ambassador Golf Club. Yesterday they had the first day of the event at Essex Golf and Curling Club. Looks like the men's basketball team will be on the road tomorrow in St. Catharines, as well as the men's hockey team will be in St. Catharines taking on the Brock Badgers. And that's the same for our men's volleyball team tomorrow night. Then they head over to London for, that can't be right. I don't know. Search up the schedule here on goalanswers.ca. There's always things changing. Ran by students and getting some great experience, but there's no way they can be. I guess it is possible. No, I was just reading it wrong. They have two games in London, one against Acadia and one against the Western Mustangs. That's it this week on Wind City Sports, folks. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Thursday with a brand new podcast, usually a lot more informational than the sports radio show. On CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit, Thursdays at 12:30, and replays Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can catch every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast wherever you're listening to it right now, but we're available on every major podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you can directly go to windcitysports.com, and that will bring you to our feed with all 165 episodes and going. I don't know when this will end. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Our handle is at WinCity_sports. WinCity is all one word. Just FYI, if you're trying to find the podcast or social media, just search us up, WinCity Sports. WinCity is all one word, WinCity, or the WinCity Sports Podcast. You'll usually be able to find us. And we're also, or I also have Instagram and Twitter. You can give me a follow at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later.